Goodness gracious me. Hello, Red Lemons. This is Alex from Red Lemon Club. You are listening to episode number 11 of the Red Lemon Show, and this is a tricky one for me because I have set myself the rather audacious challenge of doing 3 podcasts every week. It's a Tuesday. I have found myself at the tail end of a very long and tiring day, and I still have podcasts to tick off my list. So here we are. I am knackered, but I'm going to honour this commitment. I do enjoy doing podcasts, but it's slightly more challenging, shall we say, when I'm exhausted. But I'm going to do my best here, and I'm really following that mantra of it's better to put something out that is less than perfect than not putting anything out at all that is completely perfect. So this is that time. This is that moment when I am doing what I preach, I hope, in the sense that I'm putting out something that may not be perfect, and nothing will be, but I'm going to put something out and wax lyrical for a little bit on the basics of money. Now, I wanted to address this before I get into later podcasts and start exploring money in a deeper sense and get into more of the technical stuff and get into, you know, just sort of going beyond the surface. So I wanted to make sure that these more superficial, shall we say, basic fundamentals of things like money and business are covered earlier on. So I just wanted to get this out there. I have not scripted anything. This will be me chatting about what I think make up the basics of the process of getting money, and hopefully help us think about money in a way that is clarifying and puts us a little bit more at ease when it comes to the intimidating prospect of making money as creatives. And I know that so many of us have problems with money, and it can all be a bit chaotic. There are so many ways to make money. It can be, even in that sense, it can be overwhelming, just like so many other things are overwhelming when we have so many options and so many ways of doing things. I don't think that we have trouble, or that we need to have trouble with making money. It comes down to understanding how it works at a very fundamental level, and then making a decision on which of the many various options that we can make money through that we choose to make use of. So let's see how we go here. Now, the reason I decided to jump into the money thing, at least the fundamentals of money, is that I think it's useful for anyone at any level of business. So this applies to the absolute beginners as well as those of us who are further down the line. I think it really helps to have a clear structure on which to hook various bits and pieces that we can use to improve the way we make money. But I think it's helpful to have that initial structure underlying our money-making process. It's good to just know how it works at a basic level, even if it sounds like I might be speaking to a baby. I think that's helpful, at least in terms of me kind of running through this in my head. This is more an exercise for me, my own use, more than anything else. But I hope that you can take some value from this as well. So let's run through this then. How does money work? What is it? Why do we need it? So money is something that is exchanged for value. Value is something, whether that be a product or a service that we provide to other people, that effectively solves a problem. It's meeting a need. Someone has established a need somewhere in the world for something because they have a lack, there is a gap in the market, there is something that they don't have that they want. They could be unhappy, they could be lacking in tomatoes, they could be lacking in sheep, they could be lacking in being entertained, they could be bored. And so in response to that, people in an economic world will provide a solution to those needs, a solution to those problems effectively. So really at the fundamental level, think of money as solving problems. Money is there to reward someone who is solving problems. I guess that's a better way of thinking of it. Money is a reward for having someone's problems solved. So, How can we think about that in terms of our creative work? This is tricky. It's obviously a lot easier to talk about problems being solved when we're talking about much more pragmatic forms of service and forms of work. So if you think about a plumber, right? Obviously, it's a clear problem that's being solved, right? Your loo's blocked, okay? If your loo's blocked, you call up a plumber and they will fix it. They will then be paid money for that problem having been solved. But if you are an artist, you paint pretty pictures, you paint art, you express yourself creatively in through various mediums, you're a musician, you're a filmmaker, you are also solving problems. You need to think about it as, you know, along similar lines as any other form of pragmatic work. You are solving problems. If you're an illustrator, you are solving problems. And there are various problems that fall into each creative bracket. So you need to figure out what those problems are. But we're going to get to that in a sec. First of all, I think you need to take stock of what you have. In order to have value and in order to solve problems down the line, you need to have something of value in the first place that you can use as a tool, as a method, in order to improve the lives of other people. So what are those strengths? I would suggest writing them down. I would recommend brainstorming everything about what you know and what you've experienced in life. What edge do you have over someone else? What skills have you acquired? What combinations of skills can you put together to create something of value that will solve problems? This is where money starts to emerge. The potential for making money starts to emerge when you can start being aware of your strengths and your advantages. People are looking for people who have advantages over them. If you have tomatoes and someone else doesn't have tomatoes, you have an advantage over that person who does not have tomatoes, in the same way that you have strengths, and you often have various strengths that you aren't even aware of, and it could even be in the form of a experience that you had that someone could benefit from hearing about, because experiences teach. This is the origin of story. People told stories because they had experiences that other people did not have, that were transferred to that other person who didn't have the experience in the form of a story. Experiences are powerful things, and they can be used to teach others through coaching and other forms of storytelling and teaching. So these are all little things to bear in mind. What skills do you have? What programs do you know? What lessons have you learned that that you in particular have really managed to absorb and can pass that information on to someone else who might want to learn similar lessons? I'm being very broad here, of course, and this is you could see this more as a meditation, shall we say, on the basics of money. This is just me telling it like it is, telling it like I know it, without really planning this, without really scripting it. But let's see how we go. So, brainstorm your strengths. Get a hold of all the different ways that you have value. And you will probably surprise yourself in all the things that you know and you've experienced, and what you can help other people with, and what you can change the world with, and how you can improve other people's lives, whether that be through your artistry or your knowledge or your experiences or your useful skills and tools that you know how to use. Just take stock for now. Understand your strengths. Understand the advantages that you have. Next, we've got to figure out what are the problems that exist out in the world that those strengths can solve. Because when you can start putting this equation together, that's where money comes in. What are the problems that your, let's say, your top three strengths? So identify your highest value strengths, your highest value experiences, whatever it is that you can teach, whatever it is that you can bring value to. What are the three ones we can focus on right now, and what are the range of problems that that value can solve? What position are you in it that enables you to fix problems? How can you fix problems? So again, write another list. What are those problems? And where do they exist? Who has those problems? This is where it starts to get a bit more targeted. This is where you start thinking about audience, and you start thinking about customers, and you start thinking about leads and potential clients and potential individuals that you can start to approach who have problems, who have lack, who have a need that you can solve. So if you're an artist, this is where it gets interesting. How can you solve problems as an artist? Well, you'll be entertaining for a start. You'll be allowing for escape if you design games or you create films. This is all a solution to the problem of feeling stuck, feeling bored for people. They want to be entertained. They want to feel that sense of escape. They want to be inspired. They want to be explorers of different worlds whilst not leaving the comfort of their own sofas. These are all problems that you can fix. So figure out where those problems are and who has them. Again, you might want to brainstorm a wider list of where all the problems that you can solve exist. And have fun with this experiment, you know. Use this as a sort of experiment that kind of explores beyond the boundaries of what you considered you knew. Go a little bit further. How far can you push this? How many problems can you solve as an individual with the skills that you currently possess, with the understanding of the world that you possess as well? How can you help? What solutions can you provide? Where do they exist? Who has them? What kinds of people? What do they look like? Describe your avatar. This is what the marketing world talks about a lot, is identifying an avatar, a single case study, a single person that you can target your solutions, your value towards, who you can improve the lives of. If you make music, what kinds of people need that kind of music? What kinds of people like that kind of music? Where can you find them? Who are they? This is where it gets interesting, because I find market research quite fun, because you're first of all identifying the wider range of people that you could help and whose lives you can change, and there's something exciting about that, being able, you know, knowing that you have the power to improve someone's life, to solve someone else's problems. This is really what the joy of business is all about, and the joy of making money is rooted to improving other people's lives. It's solving problems. So if you can think about it that way, that certainly helps with any restrictions or blocks that you have about making money. And as I said in a previous episode, I talked about this idea of money doesn't necessarily have to be thought of as the root of evil, as something bad, as something negative. You can simply view it as a token of thanks that someone receives in exchange for having received value. It's effectively a piece of paper that says thank you on it for having improved someone's life in some way, for having solved the problem. So think about those people. Who are they? Where are they? Where do these kinds of people hang out? And sometimes you'll have a huge myriad of different types of people that you could help with whatever music that you create, with whatever art that you create, with whatever product or service you have. You could theoretically provide that service or product to a huge range of people, and it can get overwhelming. This is where you need to start making those tighter decisions. Even if there are many options, you're going to have to choose one or two. You need to identify a target market. You need to start drilling down on who it is, at least for the next phase of your business career or whatever it is, the next project. You've got to figure out who you're going to prioritize as your number one customer, your number one client. What kind of person is that? What is their worldview? How do they think? What's their philosophy like? What are their values like? Then you start getting that clarity. You start to really get intimate with your audience. You start to really understand. And the more you understand people, even if you have to just almost stab in the dark and say, these are the kinds of people I'm going to focus on. These are the kinds of people I believe I can help in the best way. You you go through that process of really learning about those people, and there's something fun about that as well. It's exciting. It's interesting to learn about other people because, well, for one, it's interesting, but secondly, you start to really see the connection between what you can provide and how you can change someone's life for the better, hopefully. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail with regards to identifying that target market, but it is important. It is very, very helpful because the more you understand your potential client, the easier it is to know where they hang out, who they are, where to reach them, how to find them, what companies they work for, or you know where they live, whatever it is about your customers or clients that you've identified and you've targeted. That's going to make the whole process of getting your stuff in front of them a lot easier. That's marketing. Getting your products and services in front of those people is what we describe as marketing. That is the process of repeatedly putting your stuff, your value, in front of the people that you've identified as being ideal for that product, for that value. And as I said, a lot of it will just come down to you deciding, just committing to a specific group. And the tighter, the more refined, the more targeted, the more narrow that group is, within reason, you don't want to make it too small, the theoretically, the easier it's going to be to link up your solution to their problem. I know that I'm not going into too many examples today. My brain is a little bit fried, but hopefully you'll get the gist and you can start making up your own ideas and you can start generating some visions and visualizations as to how it's going to work with your own business. So identify that target market. Make it as narrow as you can. Really get to know a specific group, a specific type of person. It could be it could be a type of business as well. It could be that you provide a service to businesses, but ultimately you're really thinking about individuals because your job as a business is to persuade people. Ultimately, the person that's going to decide to buy from you, to hit the buy button, to say yes, I want to buy from you, is going to be a person, and they need to be persuaded. So you've got to understand how people tick, and you need to understand who it is that you're putting your products and services in front of and where they are, how they like to be communicated with, and all that good stuff. And I'll go into a bit more detail in a bit about that. But examples of target clients, I mean, it could be, you know, teenage girls. It could be mothers aged 30 to 40. It could be you know, retired men. It could be, I mean, there's all sorts. I mean, it could also be a type of business, I guess. So like restaurants in San Francisco that specialize in vegan food. You might have something that you want to provide for those guys. And I mean, that's an example of quite a niche targeting. And as I said, the more niche you can get without, you know, limiting your audience too much, the better. So now that you've identified a target audience, or at least you have an idea in your mind as to a range of different groups that you could potentially work with the value that you've got, with the skills that you've got, and you have an idea as to how you can improve their life and solve their problems and be paid for that. And something to add on to that is obviously it helps to have identified a group of people that are willing, or at least potentially willing and able, to pay you for what you create. So there's a difference between those that you've identified as being a target market who cannot pay, who don't have much money yet, they're kind of in the early stages of their own careers and they haven't quite got to the stage where they are willing and able to pay for the kinds of things that you can provide. So you've got to make sure that your target market is where the money's at, right? You've got to ask, where's my money? Where's my money at? And you've got to be sensible and rational in that sense of finding those kinds of people that have got your money and that tend to be willing and able to pay for that. And there are ways to figure that out. Market research can involve going out into the market and actually talking to a range of people and seeing what their responses are. So, you know, actually getting out there, communicating, asking people, do you want this service? Are you interested in this? Maybe doing a few trial runs on a website and seeing whether people click to buy stuff, you know, that kind of thing. You got to figure that out. You also want to be doing research on your competition, seeing whether similar products and services are selling and what kinds of people are buying those things. So that's there's a lot of insight that's already out there with your competition, with other people that do similar stuff to you. So take a look at your fellow creatives' client lists, for example. Get a sense of the kinds of people, the kinds of companies that are paying for stuff that is similar to yours. Figure all that stuff out. You need to do the market research. You've got to put a bit of time and planning into all this, and it's all part of it. So you've got a product or service that can solve problems, and you know what kinds of people you're going to approach, and you're going to start working with who are, have a likelihood of being willing and interested in paying for what you have. And if you don't feel like you're there yet, don't worry. Keep listening, keep figuring it out, keep talking to the market, keep pushing yourself out into the world, and don't expect people to come knocking on your door. You're going to have to go from door to door. You're going to have to ask. You're going to have to do the research. It's all part of it. And the more you do it, the less you're going to have to do it down the line, perhaps. But just there's a lot of work, basically, is what I'm saying early on as you get started. So the next thing you want to do is make sure that you are really irresistible to that particular client. And it could be that they just don't click with you and you might want to have to move on to a different audience as you update your strategy with making money. But you want to have a product or a service that just blows the competition out of the water. You need to be outstanding. It needs to be irresistible. You need to be seen as indispensable. So whether you're an employee for a company or whether you're a freelancer doing contracting work, or if you have a product, your product or service, or you being an employee, needs to be irresistible to whoever's paying for it, or at least as close to irresistible as possible. You need to be remarkable, you need to be outstanding, you need to have a unique selling point, you need to be different, you need your client or your customer to think there's no one else who can provide this in a way, in the same way that you do. And so I need this. They need to say, I need to work with you. So you've got to be very creative here. You've got to be clever about improving your value to the highest peaks as you can take it. You have to be outstanding. You have to figure out ways constantly. And it's an ongoing thing of being remarkable, being outstanding, being the very best you can be in your niche with your particular form of specialism. It's all powerful stuff. So you've got to be irresistible. You've got to have high value, and you want to make it easier for everyone involved. You want to make it easier for you. You want to be great. It's obviously a lot easier for you when you are not mediocre, right? You want to be able to have a client say, yep, I want to work with you immediately, right? So you want to be really, really high value, be remarkable, be irresistible. And you want the client to find that process easy as well. It needs to be clear and obvious to them that you are the solution to their problems. You don't want to have a kind of watered down version of what you could be, so that people have too much choice. You don't want to give people the choice. You don't want to say, look, here I am, but there's another guy over there who's kind of similar to me and is probably maybe even a bit better, so you might want to go for him, right? No, it's about saying, this is the solution right here. You're looking at them. Okay, I am the best at this. And so that comes with it several other elements that I will probably go into a lot more detail in other podcasts, but to give you some idea as to the bits and pieces that make up being irresistible, there are many kind of pieces to it, many components to coming across to that target client, that target customer, as being awesome, being outstanding, being the only option to them. You want to make them see that they have no other options but to choose you. So that will include having a strong professional brand. That will be, you know, being consistent, being credible in how you go about your business. So if you create content and you share stuff and you do articles and things like that, people like to see consistency. People like to see an identity. People like to see that you've got a. Depending on your business, obviously, I know that I'm stepping into dangerous ground here, trying to cover so many different types of creative businesses. But you want to be as credible as you can be. You want to look like you know what you're doing, even if you don't feel like it. You've got to have a well-designed site as well as you can, a well-designed sort of setup, a brand that looks like there's some consistency running through it. There's also consistency in how you show up every day and you put content out and you whatever it is that you're doing to market yourself. There's a certain element of consistency and professionalism to it. Again, these are all things I can talk about in more detail down the line, but other things that will make you look irresistible. So having a unique selling point. So having something about you, your business, that is different to everyone, to anyone else, differentiating from the market. You want to look as though you are special in some way. You provide something that no one else can match you on. No one else can beat you on. So what could that be? Is it the way that you provide your service? Is it because you provide a really fast service? Is it because you wear funny clothes and you stand out? I mean, this is obviously a terrible example, but have that unique selling point. Look up the unique selling point and see other companies that demonstrate great unique selling points. So this will be something that goes beyond price usually. It's something, some aspect, some element, something quirky about your business and the way that you do things that is different to everyone else and is adds on an extra bit of value to what you do. So in the case of my illustration stuff, my unique selling point was that I did, I focused on maps done in a certain style with a certain color palette. And that's pretty much as good as you get with artistic stuff in terms of a unique selling point. It's really down to style. It's down to the way that you approach things. It's down to your unique twist on things. It's down to your specialism. That all kind of makes up your unique selling point and how you can do things differently to others. So when I was approached by companies like Google, they saw that I had that unique style in and focused on a specific type of content, ideally, you know, maps in this case. And they saw that I did things differently to everyone else. So they thought, okay, this is what we need. We don't see this in anyone else. It looks like Alex can provide the solution to what we need, and we're going to go for that. So think about that. Think about how you can differentiate yourself. That is going to give you a real advantage over the mass of competition that surrounds you. You also want to have social proof if possible. So things like testimonials and demonstrations that other people also have shown an interest in what you do. So whenever you get the opportunity to get a client to give you a review or you sell a product, you want to get the customer to send you a testimonial to show potential future customers and clients that you know what you're doing. And the most important thing about that is that people see that other people are interested in you. And there's a very powerful sort of social glue that comes out of that. People are attracted to businesses that other people are also attracted to. It's just the way that humans work. So take advantage of that sort of quirk in nature and pile on as much social proof as is reasonable for your business. Next thing is, I talked about credibility. You want to make it super clear through your copy on your website and through the way that you communicate to clients and stuff like that, that you are the ideal solution to what they need. So be ultra clear in the way you communicate. It's professional in itself, but it's also really, really vital that you don't overcomplicate things and you give it to people clear so that they can see right in front of them that this is exactly what they need. You want to remind people of the problems that they have and how you can fix them. Obviously, again, tricky with the artistic stuff, but if in doubt, just describe your speciality, describe how it is that you're different to other people. This is all useful stuff. It's important to include. And then if you're really in doubt, then just, you know, it's just having a clear portfolio, not muddying things up too much with different styles, showing that you are a specialist in something specific, something clear, something that shows a common thread of content or different sort of artistic styles. It's tricky because there are so many different ways you can do things, but try and keep a common thread running through things and try and keep things tidy, make things obvious to people. So don't have a portfolio that's like got photos of urban areas in, you know, including cats, and then you jump into sort of illustrations in an entirely different style, and then you've got some videos in there. I mean, that, it just muddies things up. So you want to be as crystal clear as you can. That will all add to being irresistible to the potential client. I hope this is all making sense and I haven't lost you. But this is all stuff that I've been thinking of over the many years that I've been working as an illustrator and a content creator and selling products and stuff online. These are all things that I'm always thinking about. How can I make my product and my brand and everything surrounding my product and services really, really, really irresistible and outstanding to that ideal client? The other thing, of course, is now that you've got your ideal client identified, it really helps to have a website or a place that you present stuff through, you know, your pitch or your whatever it is that you're sharing to promote your stuff. It could be a flyer or whatever it is. You want to make sure that that is targeted as well as it can to that client. So if you can have in the copy in your website or on a particular landing page, for example, if you can target the specific person that you're reaching out to and make it look as if, and it should be as well, that your business is catering specifically to those people, they're going to feel a real added sense of connection to you, because they're going to think, oh wow, this is a person who is really well suited to what I need and who I am and who we are in terms of values. And just knowing that you are targeting and working and you specialize in working with that particular person is going to make you really, really interesting to them, really irresistible. Those are the key things. I mean, story is another aspect of really creating that emotional connection with people as well, as telling your story, making you appear human to people. You don't want to be a robot hiding behind the scenes the whole time. So you want to show people that you're a human, that you have a story, and you want to guide people through that story a little bit. So tell people about your backstory. Tell people about how you got into the creative work that you now do. Tell people about your struggles. Be vulnerable. Be okay with showing your flaws and your quirks. People are interested in that. People connect with that a lot better. And that will also add to your irresistibility to making those deals and appealing to people. Let's hurry things along now. I'm getting tired. So let's talk about before we talk about actually making that final deal where we actually get the money paid into our bank accounts finally, let's talk quickly about the next aspect that is key in the whole process of making money. Once you've identified that target market, you've identified your strengths, and you've identified you've created a product, obviously, you know, that's something that I haven't really touched on, gone into too much depth with, but you've obviously got a product that solves that specific need. You need a means to reach these people. They aren't going to beat their way to your door. They're not going to come knocking. You're going to have to find a way to get your product and the branding surrounding it and the copy and the communication that comes from it. You're going to have to find a way to effectively get that stuff in front of those kinds of people, whether that be through a pitch, whether it be through your website, whether it be through the content that you share. You got to get it in front of them. So there are many ways to do that. The internet is a magical thing. The internet will help you get your stuff in front of people in ways that have never been seen before. In the old days, you might have gone to market with your produce, and people will have walked through that market and seen your stuff and connected with you and then bought. But things are a bit different now. We've got the internet, and we have a much more laid back, in a way to reach, meet and connect with the right kinds of people. So newsletters, social media, social advertising on social networks, various directories, Craigslist, calling people up, content marketing, using social media, YouTube, making videos, you can obviously upload art and music and products and digital products and digital creative products to websites where people visit. There are a myriad ways of reaching people, but let's just keep it simple and say, as an overview, you want to find a way to get your irresistible product and your irresistible proposition in the form of the work, but also in the copy that you share with the work. You want to get it in front of people repeatedly. So the real essence of this is basically you want to get your remarkability, your value in front of the right kinds of people with regularity. And the reason I say this is because they say and science backs this up. They say that people need, usually on average, 7 check-ins, 7 touch-ins. They need to have heard from you, in other words, 7 times, whether that be through just an email connection or a ping they see on Twitter or a some mention of your company name or your product or service. 7 times they see that before they start building that trust, before they start really being sold on buying from you. So find a way to repeatedly get your brand in front of people. This is why newsletters are so handy. This is why social media is so useful, because it's all about those regular touch-ins, that regular creation of familiarity of who you are. And the more irresistible your product is and the story surrounding it is and the branding surrounding it is, and the better the content is and the more consistent it is, the better all that's going to be. So you've got to figure that out. I would say at the very core of anything, have that newsletter set up and have other avenues bringing people from elsewhere to that newsletter. That's really the basic for me, the basic stuff, basic setup. So have your presence on social media. You might as well, it's free. Focus on 1 or 2 as your kind of key social networks, and then bring people back from those social networks to your newsletter. So give them an incentive that says, you know, I'm going to give away something something great for you in exchange for signing up to the newsletter. And when you got them on your newsletter, then it's a case of repeatedly sharing value and improving their lives, and not trying to sell, but to occasionally sell when the time is right. So, you know, once in every 3 or 4 pushes, you maybe promote something. That's how it works. And then you got to make that deal. A lot of the times, if you have a means for people to pay for something, if you've got like a shop that you share occasionally, people are going to find a way to buy. But otherwise, you're going to need to coax people to pay for your product and service, and that requires making an offer. You need to make that offer to settle that deal. You're not going to get a deal unless you make an offer. At the very basic level, an offer could be a product that you show on a shop and you've got the buy now button. That is an offer. You are persuading people through the pictures of the product and the copy around it, the writing, and then you've got the button that says buy now. That is your offer. But on, you know, for depending on what other businesses you've got, you might want to, you know, manually reach out to someone and say, I'm interested in working with you. This is what I do. This is the problem I can solve. Do you want to work together? Do you want to get on a call? Do you want to make this happen? Let's make this happen. Let's be a bit more forceful here. Let's be assertive. And you gotta be assertive. You gotta push for that deal. And don't worry too much about coming across as pushy, as being needy, as being over the top. Because if you've got a product that is any good, especially one that is irresistible, especially one that is associated with an irresistible brand like the one you've been setting up, and you have identified the ideal client for that product through the market research that you've done, then it's just a case of saying, this is what I've got, this is how it can help you, let's work together, let's do this, and then provide payment details and get the deal done. That's how you make money. I will talk about all the other ways, you know, the individual ways in more detail. So we can talk about, you know, having a shop and selling merchandise, or, you know, selling digital courses, doing coaching, selling paintings, getting your art shown in galleries, all that kind of stuff in more detail in other podcasts. But as you've seen, I wanted to do a bit more of a sort of surface level, bird's eye view of the basics of money making for everyone, really, in this case, for anyone entrepreneurial and self-starters and creatives like yourself. Hope it was useful. I mean, I'm losing my voice. You can get a sense of how tired I am. And I kind of apologize for leaving it so late in the day. It's my fault that I left it so late. But I wanted to acknowledge my commitments and do this podcast, even though I am a little bit knackered. But hopefully that made some sense and you've taken some value from that. I want to quickly mention that redlemonclub.com is there waiting for you with open arms in terms of the articles and content that I've got on there on topics to do with money, but also a range of other things, including self-confidence building, being motivated as a creative, and a huge range of other topics. So go to redlemonclub.com to read some more of the articles, sign up to the newsletter. You know what the deal is with newsletters. They are hugely valuable, and I share stuff on there that you will not get anywhere else. There's a ton of extra value that only subscribers will be getting over the next few months and years. So make sure that you are a member on the Red Lemon Club newsletter. Do go to the redlemonclub.com/Slack landing page to sign up for the community that we've got set up there. So we've got lots of creatives chatting together on a Slack forum. It's an online discussion group where lots of different types of creatives talk to each other about you know, inspiring each other and supporting each other and all the good stuff that creatives need to know, that, you know, in terms of having friendships and mentors and people to help you on this journey. They're all there. Go to redlemonclub.com/Slack to get set up, and we'll be waiting with glee for you there. So hope that helped. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast if you've been enjoying it. Do like it, favorite it, depending on where you are. Share this with your friends. Really, really appreciate it if you take the title of this podcast, copy and paste it, say that you enjoyed it, put it on Twitter or Facebook, and share it with your friends, because this will continue to grow and continue to inspire me to keep doing these if I see that new people are signing up and sharing it. So it's a little hint for you there. So that would be awesome. Share it with your friends, subscribe, and I will see you guys in the next one. Take care.